Man, good morning. You can be seated. You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah? Anybody still got turkey hangover? Are we okay? No falling asleep today. Remember in Acts, the dude fell out of the window, so you guys will fall out of your chair if you fall asleep in church today. Let's hope that doesn't happen, but we'll know if you did. Hey, man, it's so good to be here. Anybody eat too much? I certainly did. And then the next day, you eat more, because you got to get rid of it, right? So you got to eat more, but I hope it was a good weekend for you guys, and we hope that today we're wrapping up the Thanksgiving weekend together by giving thanks to the Lord for who He is, for all that He's done. One of the popular traditions at Thanksgiving meal is for family and friends to gather around the table and share what they're thankful for. Anybody do that? All right, let's start now. What? I'm just kidding. That'd be good. That'd be take forever, right? But today we're going to look at a well-known passage. And we're going to see truths that we could add to our list as to what we're thankful for God today. This morning, we're going to spend our time in a famous passage, Psalm chapter 23. Some would say it's the most well-known book in the Old Testament. In this psalm, David lays out for us truths about God that will give us every reason to be thankful no matter what we're going through. Psalm 23 is a famous passage for good reason. It's one that many, maybe many in this room have memorized. I remember memorizing Psalm 23 when we were in second grade in Sunday school class, just going through there and memorizing that. It's a text that brings comfort for many. It's a passage that I've shared many times in the hospital room, and it's a passage that brings encouragement, reassurance, and help. Many, as they're studying who God is, they look to Psalm 23 because it tells us who He is, right? It's to be reminded of how incredibly good God is for us today. As we walk through it, we're going to see reason to give Him thanks and to praise for who He is, for how He loves us and cares for us. So church, you may be on a mountaintop today, you may be somewhere in the middle, or you may be in the valley, but we're going to see who God is and see reasons as to why we can be thankful no matter where we are. As we read through this, we're going to see a faithful God. We're going to see a faithful God. We'll see that we can have confidence in God. And we also get to see that we can have a personal relationship with God. When we think about who God is, the Bible reminds us a lot that God is not distant, right? He's not the old man up in the chair ready to strike somebody down with the long beard. He is not uninvolved in our lives. We'll see that today, that He is with us and that He promises to those who followed Him that He will be with us always. Today in Psalm 23, David shows us the personal relationship that he has with the Lord. So we're going to dive in. Psalm is right in the middle of your Bible. If you need a Bible, go ahead and grab one in the back there. But we're going to see reasons as to why we're thankful to God. Let's stand to honor God in the reading of His Word. You guys stand with me if you're able. Psalm 23, and we're going to read all of it today. Here's what God's Word says. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, we come to You today. We've celebrated Thanksgiving, God, but help this continue to help us be thankful for You, because that is Your will for us to be thankful in all things. God, we pray, Lord, as we just walk through this passage, that we would see who You are, see how incredibly good You are. And God, we see that You love us. God, we love You. We're ready to listen. Teach us today in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. The language in Psalm 23 is going to sound a little different to us, but these are words that the people in David's time were very familiar with. They understood the life of a shepherd. I don't think anybody in here has been a shepherd. Anybody in here been a shepherd? Of sheep, maybe, right? Parents, sometimes you feel like it. But for David, he's writing this psalm out of a personal experience. Before David was king, before that he served as King Saul, before that he took out Goliath. Before all of that, David was a shepherd boy. If you look in the book of 1 Samuel 16 and 17, you get to see some of what he did. 1 Samuel 16, we see that David's responsibility was to shepherd the sheep. He had a responsibility to tend to them, to lead them, to food and water. He had a responsibility to care for them and to provide for these sheep what they need. He had the responsibility to protect them. And so when David writes this psalm about God being his shepherd, he knows what it means to be a shepherd to sheep. And David begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." So David's thinking about these animals. He knew these animals, the sheep, they needed to be tended to, right? They were weak. They were defenseless. They weren't the smartest animals in the barn. Amen, church, right? They needed to be led and cared for. And he's now saying in Psalm that with God being our shepherd, you know what that means for us is we are sheep. We are weak. We're defenseless. We're not the smartest. We need to be led. We need to be cared for by a leader and a provider and a protector. If you notice in your Bibles, in Psalm 23, the second word, the Lord, it's written with a large capital L and then smaller but still capital letters is the rest of the name. And it's written this way so we know what that name means. The name Lord here is Jehovah God. This is the covenant promise-keeping God. Don't miss this. David is saying this. The self-existing, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the creator, sustainer, faithful God is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. So now let's walk through these verses and see that God, right, he is our shepherd. And I pray today that what we read will leave us truly thankful. To see who God is and to see our first reason to be thankful, let's look at verse 1. David writes this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The first truth we see is this, is that your shepherd's care for you is incredibly personal. It's incredibly personal. These first five words of Psalm are very, very important. In much of the Bible, both in the New and Old Testament, we see emphasis on God being our God. We talk a lot about that, right? We're to be gathered together. He is our God. We are his people, right? And it's important because God is calling us to be a community, to be his church, to be gathered together, to not forsake the assembling, right? To be his people. However, when we get to Psalm 23, David's not devaluing the plural, right? That he is our God. He's not dismissing that we should be gathered together. He's just saying that while God is our God, he's also my God. That's a good word, church, right? He is your God. He is incredibly personal. Walk through this with me in your Bibles. I'm going to have the words up on the screen, but just look at your Bible, Psalm 23, whether it's on your phone, your device, whatever it is in your Bible. Look at these verses with me as we walk through. You may even underline and circle if you're up for that. But in verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Verse 2, "He makes me lie down. He leads me." Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He guides me." Verse 4, "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare for me. You have anointed my head, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Right? And so David wants us to know that God is our shepherd, right? But he is also my shepherd. He is your shepherd. The one who always was and always will be, he wants a personal relationship with you. Just sit with that and try to feel the significance and the weight of that. The one that spoke and all things come into creation, the one that knit us together in our mother's womb, he says, "I'm yours. I want a personal relationship with you." That's good, church. Just as a shepherd is with his sheep and he knows his sheep and he knows where they are, the Lord, he knows you. He knows where you are. He sees what you're going through. He cares about everything going on around you, but he also cares about you and all that you do, and he loves you. This phrase brings so much comfort to those who are struggling, because when we're walking through hard times, we often feel alone, we feel unseen, we feel isolated, even if people are all around us. But God says, "I am your shepherd." Others may abandon you. Others may let you down, even if they don't mean to. Others may have the best intention, but the Lord is your shepherd, always caring for you. The Lord of all is your shepherd. And his care for you is incredibly personal. He sees you. He knows your heart. He cares for you. He loves you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your concerns. He knows your joys. Let's continue in verse 1. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Other translations say, "I have what I need," or "I'm lacking nothing." David is saying, all of my needs are supplied by my shepherd, who is the Lord. Truth number 2, reason for us to give thanks to God is your shepherd will never stop providing. And that's such a good truth because this means you can trust him, church. You can depend on God. You can depend on the Creator God, the Jehovah God. You can depend on the Lord. If you're worried or troubled or anxious, guess what? He provides. He provides his peace. If you're tired and empty, he provides you with his strength. When you're experiencing hurt or pain, he provides healing and comfort. When you're without answers, he provides wisdom. Then we think about more physical things. Jesus speaks to that in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Man, I love that. Jesus is saying, God sees you. He knows you. He's going to provide for you. You can trust him. We can trust the Lord. We can depend on him. We can ask of him. He will hear us. He will never stop providing. He knows what we need. He's personal. He loves you and will always provide. Look at verse 2. These are ways that he provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides by, he leads me by beside still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. Looking at ways that God provides us. Sometimes we just think about material needs. Like, God, I can't pay my bills today, right? You know, that type of thing. God, I need food. I need clothing. I need shelter. All that kind of stuff. But David is speaking of God providing rest. God providing leadership. God providing calmness and peace in our life. He talks about God providing us with restoration. He brings us back when we stray. He refreshes us. Notice what's happening here is God is the one doing it all. He makes me. He leads me. He restores. He guides me. Guess what this means, church? Your shepherd provides because of his grace, not your ability. We aren't earning any of this. The sheep can do nothing to earn what the shepherd needs to give them. We aren't earning it. We aren't working for it. It's not our ability that provides for our needs. It's the grace of God. And you can say, yeah, but I worked for that. God gave you the ability to work for it. He gave you the breath to breathe, church. He gave you the ability to walk or function or do whatever it is. It's the grace of God. We did nothing. When we think about sheep, they need a lot of help. They need a shepherd to provide for them. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. When we think about sheep, sheep get worried easily. They get startled easily. They've got ADD like some of y'all and me, right? Don't leave me out there. They're pretty defenseless. And sheep may be tired and need to calm, but because of all that's going around them, they can't calm themselves down. They need a shepherd to help them do that. He provides a safe and calm place for them to lie down and rest. Our shepherd, with all the stuff going around us, church, provides for us the peace and the rest we need to lie down. David says he leads me beside still waters or quiet waters. Our shepherd knows when we need green pastures and he knows when we need to be by still or quiet waters. And so David gives for us some imagery of the comfort and the safety and the care and the rest and the peace that only God provides. When David wrote this, the people would understand this imagery. They knew that the shepherd had to make sheep lie down periodically. He knew the shepherd had to help the sheep rest because they were so easily startled. They couldn't rest. They couldn't calm down. They knew the shepherd had to lead the sheep to water, and they knew the shepherd had to protect these sheep because they couldn't or wouldn't do it on their own. David says in verse 3, he restores my soul. I'll be honest with you, this is one of my favorite parts of this whole passage. They knew what to restore my soul. They would have known this language, they would have been familiar with. They knew what it meant for shepherds to help or restore the sheep. You see, sheep are built in such a way, think about the body of a sheep, they're built in such a way that if they fall over, which they do periodically, they would end up on their side, and then they would try to get back over, and they would end up on their back. They're rolling over to their back, and then they're trying to get up. Church, it's very difficult for a sheep to get up into that, to get back up on their feet in their own doing, right? I mean, that's going to be hard for them. And so they're there and they're panicking and they're on their back because that's where all their weight is. And they begin to kick their legs up in the air. And guess what they get to do? They start yelling and crying out, which can attract a predator. And they lay there on their backs and gas begins to build up in their stomachs. Their stomach hardens, their airways get cut off. And a lot of times without a shepherd, that sheep dies. Often by suffocation, starvation, by a predator. If they can't get up or get the help they need. Church, that's called a cast down position. And so as the shepherd was watching out for his sheep, he would hear the sheep crying, or he would look out and see the sheep in the cast down position, and he would come to that sheep to help them. And this is known as restoring them. Restoring a cast down sheep. And the shepherd would come and just protect them. And he would calm them. And then he would get down next to that sheep and he would lift that sheep. He would help them come up, turn over, and he would help them like get lifted back up. And the shepherd would just sit there with them and hold them until the sheep is able to stand on its own. He would hold it up because a lot of times whenever they're kicking and screaming, the blood would flow out of their legs and they no longer had the feeling in their legs. And he would sit there and help the blood get moving again. And he would just sit there and hold them. And so David says that God restores our souls like a shepherd restores the sheep. Church, let's identify really well with the sheep here. We can often find ourselves in a bad or dangerous place. And maybe it's because of our sin. Maybe it's because of decisions that we made. Maybe because someone helped us get there or caused us to be there. Maybe we're dealing with the weight of guilt or grief or sin or whatever it is. And we're in that downcast position. And like the sheep, we find ourselves on our backs kicking and screaming. And we're in a need of a Savior to restore us. And what do we often do? We try to do it on our own. We try to work our way out of that situation. We try to do it on our own and we end up helpless, and then we're in much more need of the Lord to rescue us. And he does, church. God restores our soul, David says. He turns us up, right? He picks us up. He forgives us. He is gracious. Even when we as sheep get ourselves in those situations. What a great reminder, church. We can cry out to God, church, and he hears you. Don't miss that. The one that spoke everything, the one that is sustaining all things, he hears you. And church, he will help you. He will hold you. He will restore you. Church, God loves to take what is broken or upside down in your life and restore you. That's a good word. If you guys miss it, that's it right there. Like, he restores us. He takes our sin, and, you know, when we call out to God, he gives us new life, church. He restores us. David says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God guides us, church. He leads us, and we're to follow him. You got to know his voice, church. We're to listen to his voice and follow where he leads. David says, he guides me in the paths. We're going to do a little word study. This is important, church. He says he guides me in the paths of righteousness. The word paths actually is a Hebrew word that speaks of a well-worn path or a rut. Makes sense? Like, it's already there. It's the path that God is leading us on, the path that is already laid out for us by him. Some translations say he leads me along the right paths. Because sometimes, church, we try to make our own paths. That song we sang just a little bit ago, prone to wander, Lord. We're prone to wander, church. We try to make our own paths and not the path God has laid out for us. Or maybe we find a fresh, new, exciting path that the world has provided for us. A path that leads us to no longer walking with God, but away from him down a wrong path that will eventually lead to trouble. Young people, don't miss this. Have an older person in your life that will be willing to say, I walked down a wrong path and Jesus needed to restore me and bring me back the right path. David is saying God graciously leads us and guides us in the paths of righteousness. And he's saying that we can't, listen to this, church. We can't follow the path. We can't walk the path of righteousness on our own. You're not able to. I'm not able to. We're going to go astray. We're prone to wander, church. We will try to make our own path. We'll try to walk down a path that looks more exciting or more fun, right? We'll walk further and further away from the life that God intended for you. But God is our shepherd. He leads us in the path of righteousness. What's righteousness? God shows us the way. He leads us on the path of what is right in his eyes. This is a simple definition. Righteousness is what is right in the eyes of God. And God is going to lead us on that path. I love Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Church, for us, God uses his word to show us where and how to walk. If you're not in this, you can't walk it. If you're trying to figure out what a next step for you is as a Christ follower, it's to be in this so you can walk in it. Does that make sense, church? Young people, are you hearing me? Like, we fill our minds with so much stuff and we have so many things pouring into us. If you're not in this, you can't walk in it. The one that created us, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that this is God breathed. There's life in this. If you're not in it, you can't walk in it. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How often are we like sheep walking away from the shepherd down our own path? We find ourselves lost and in trouble. Let's be like David, knowing that we cannot find and follow the path on our own. We can't do it ourselves. We need our shepherd to graciously lead us. One of the phrases that I love to read in the Bible is how really people's lives are wrapped up in just a few words. I just picked one. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. We see a man named Enoch. We know more about Enoch, but here's what it says. His life is wrapped up in four words. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Whew. Like, I would love for that to be said of me. Jeff walked with God. He followed his shepherd, church. Enoch watched and listened for his voice, and God led him and guided him in the paths of righteousness. Church, if we're not in the word of God, it makes it impossible to walk with God in the right paths. God leads us and guides us and makes it possible for us to walk with him. Church, that's good news. He's not the mean professor that wants you to get an A on that test but doesn't want to walk with you. Jesus is saying, man, I'm going to walk with you this whole time. And David says, God does it all for this, for his name's sake. God receives the glory, church, by providing all this. The Lord, I love this name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. For his name's sake, he provides because that's who he is. So he protects, he gives rest, he refreshes us, he restores us, he gives us peace, he restores our soul, he leads us so that we can walk with him, and our shepherd provides out of his grace, not out of our ability. Our shepherd provides for us, not because we earned it or deserved it, because of his love and his grace and for his glory, church. When people see God providing for us, he gets the glory out of that. The sheep out in this field have done nothing to earn it. You and I have done nothing to earn his provision. But he provides it because we can't. And he provides it because of his personal care for us and his love for us, because of who he is. He can't not do it. He provides and he keeps on providing. But church, what a great place just to pause and praise God and thank him for who he is. And God, thank you for keep providing for me. You may be in a really crummy, crappy position, right? But then you look around and you're like, God, I have you. Like, I'm breathing. Psalm 63, David is being pursued by his own child that wants to kill him and take his throne. And David said, God, I can praise you with these lips because I have you and your love. He's got no food, he's got no friends, he's got no water, but he's got God. He provides what we need. We have so much to be thankful for. Because of who God is, he provides and will continue to provide. For the next three verses, Paul has been talking about God, right? He's talking about God. He's praising God. He's talking about God and recognizing who God is. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He makes me. He restores me. He guides me. But as we come to verse 4, there's a shift. David goes from talking about God to talking to God. In fact, what he's talking about, I could easily say he's crying out to God, like the sheep that is turned over. David's been talking about the green pastures and the still waters, right? I like those places. But as we come to verse 4, David begins to talk about the valley of the shadow of death and being in the presence of his enemies. I think this is something that we do, church. When we're in green pastures and by still waters, we often talk and sing about the goodness of God. And we should. But when we find ourselves in the midst of darkness, instead of talking about God, we begin crying out to God. David begins to say, you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table. I love this reminder. We're going to see more of who God is and why we can praise him and thank him. But notice, as we read through this, God is still providing throughout all of this, church. He provides when we're on the high ground. He provides when we're in the valley. He never stops being who he is. He never stops being faithful and providing. But look at verse 4. When David shifts from talking about God to talking to and crying out to God as his shepherd, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Here's the next truth and a reason we can praise God, because our Lord and Shepherd's care is incredibly personal, because he gives us everything we need. Because of who he is, your shepherd leaves you nothing to fear. You hear it? Like, I wrestle with that, church, right? Because, like, God, I'm still scared of a couple things. But if we pause and we remember who God is in the midst of that, he leaves us nothing to fear. Even though I walk, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Church, David is saying, I have nothing to fear, not even death itself. And God, as God leads us, church, it is God and his presence that calms our fears. Any deep, dark valley you're in, any difficult experience you're walking through, any painful situation, any threatening environment, and even death, David is saying those don't have to lead to fear. We don't have to fear, church. When we think about sheep, they're known to be skittish animals. They don't have the greatest eyesight. They're always kind of worried about something. They don't like new surroundings. They panic easily when things are dark or uncomfortable. But it's the presence of who? Their shepherd. That brings the calm and removes the fear that they naturally have. And David here, he knows who God is. He knows God is good. He knows God will provide in one way or another. He knows that God cares about him. And he knows that his shepherd is God. He's the Lord. And he's in charge. Do you know who God is? Because knowing who God is takes away the fear. Church, let me encourage you. Dive into the Word of God. I would dare say we have more than one of these on our shelves at home. I would dare say we have access to it on our phones. I've watched videos of people getting Bibles for the first time. And they rip open that box and they just weep and cry because they get to hear from God. Open the Bible. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time in passages and ask yourself, what does this teach me about who God is and how incredibly good he is? Church, read and learn and know that he is all powerful. That he is present, he is all-knowing, he is self-sufficient, he is Lord, he's the comforter, he's the counselor, he's the Prince of Peace, he's the maker of all things, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, church, right? When we know who God is and know that God is our personal shepherd, why should we fear? David tells us more. I love this. He says, I fear no evil. Why? Say this with me. For you are with me. Your shepherd leaves you no reason to fear because he's with you. God is with you, church. Look at what David says. He's living out that personal relationship. He's not talking about God. He is now talking to God. God, you are with me. As a shepherd of sheep, David talks about how he was with the sheep and how he protected the sheep and how he kept them from fear. I think it's up on the screen, but he's talking at one point in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, and David describes his life. He said, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. Church, this is a young man making it possible for his sheep to not be afraid because he's with them. Our shepherd is our God, not a young man. And he's made it possible for us to not be afraid. Church, when we read through the Bible, here are just some things we hear and learn about God and how good he is. He delivered his people from slavery. He defeated their enemies. He calmed wind and waves with his voice saying, hush, be still. He created the world by speaking. He knits us together. He breathes his life into us. He defeated our greatest threat and enemy. He defeated death, hell, Satan, and sin, church. Next week, we start our Christmas series, and in a month, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate the one who came to be God with us. And the one who came to defeat our sin and death. And Jesus promises all who call upon the name of the Lord will be rescued. He will save you. He will always be with you. Our shepherd isn't a young shepherd boy. He is the Almighty Lord of Lords, and he leaves us nothing to fear, church. That's a good word, man. Our God, our shepherd, is with us. Praise God, church. He's with you when things are going well. He's with you in the deepest, darkest valley. Here's some truths for us to live with. God is always bigger. He's always bigger. He's bigger than any threat, any situation. He's bigger than death. Think about that. He's bigger than death, church. Like, if we've trusted in Jesus and called on him to be our Lord and Savior, we don't even have to fear death because he's with us. He's with us now as our shepherd. He will be with us for eternity, church. And David says this. He says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, the people had been familiar with this. They were instruments used by shepherds. And the shepherds used them with the sheep, sometimes to gently guide them. Right? They would be used to protect the sheep from predators. Maybe the shepherd has to use it to get their attention a little bit. God ever had to get your attention a little bit? They used the tools to remind them to follow him and to stay on the path. And with God as our shepherd, he uses the rod and the staff to lead us and guide us and give us direction and protect us. Church, God is not distant. He's not disconnected. He's with us. He's leading us and guiding us, giving us direction and protecting us because he's with us, church. This is what makes him a great shepherd. He is near. He's near. He cares for you personally. He provides for you personally. He protects you personally. He leads. He gives us no reason to fear because he's right there with us, not distant or disconnected, but present and personal. Not distant or disconnected, but present and personal. Look at verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The idea of preparing a table could really mean two things. Let's think about this for a second. It could refer to a table out in the country. Here's what that would be. It would be a higher flat spot where the shepherd could lead them to a safe place where they could eat and rest. While the enemy may be around them, lower than them, they were fed and they were safe. The shepherd was just keeping an eye on everything, but they were safe. But it's also a picture being painted by David, I think, where the Lord, like a host, is providing food and safety. The imagery, this picture being painted about our Lord and shepherd is that God is like a host who has plenty to feed you and me with. But he also has the power to protect me while I eat. This is such a great truth about God. He has all we will ever need. He will satisfy you. He will protect you. And while there may be danger and enemies all around us, and there are, we have no need to worry or fear. We can eat and have joy because, again, our shepherd is with us. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." I love how one commentator explained this. I think I've got the words up here. Do we have those up here? It says, "In the presence of my enemies, surrounded by adversity, inundated with imminent danger, your God prepares a table and a feast for you. You enter into the banquet hall, and like a host would honor a guest by anointing that guest with oil, so you are welcomed in by the Lord on high to feast on the bread of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, such that your cup overflows." That's not just enduring in the midst, in the middle of your enemies. That's enjoying in the midst of your enemies. That's not just sustenance. That is satisfaction, that God designs even suffering for our joy. No matter what you or I may be going through, we can have peace, we can be safe, we can have sustenance, we can be satisfied, we can have joy because God never runs out. He never stops protecting, He never stops providing. We're going to overflow, church. This is what our personal God and shepherd provides for us. And that leads to our next truth and reason for us to give thanks. David writes this, it says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A little more word study today, church. The word "surely" in Hebrew means only. Only goodness. Only loving kindness will follow me. So from our shepherd, only goodness. Loving kindness also means mercy, right? So only goodness, only mercy, only His love will follow me all the days of my life. And the word "follow," I love this word, church. This is so important. It means to follow after. It's an active pursuit. To pursue and run after with an aim to secure. Think about it this way. This is a lot like a parent pursuing their child, right? When you go to the mall or wherever it is that you go to shop, we don't let our children go 50 feet ahead of us, and we just kind of passively, sorry, this is bugging me. We don't just passively follow them, do we? Right? We're after them, aren't we? Like, we're pursuing them. We're after them. We're not just casually following a little bit behind them. This is a parent right there when their kid, with their kid, as they run around, we're ready to protect them. We're ready to catch them. We're ready to be there for them, church. That's what's happening here. Your shepherd, God, is pursuing you with His everlasting love, His goodness, and His kindness, church. God is pursuing you and me with His faithful love. There's a song that we sing. It says, "Your goodness is running after." It's running after me. It's not distant, church. It's not just hanging out back there. It's running after us. His goodness is running after us. His mercy is pursuing us at every moment. And again, it's not because you're worthy. It's not because I've deserved it. It's His mercy. It's His love, it's His grace that leads Him to pursue us in this way at all times. And so God is our personal shepherd. He leads us, He protects us, He guides us, He restores us, He feeds and satisfies us. We're overflowing. He's there with us, chasing after us with His goodness, mercy, and love, church. And here's the last bit of good news that ensures that we'll never run out of reason to thank Him or praise Him. David says this. He says, "And I, God, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here's our last truth for today. Fellowship with your shepherd will never end. This is so good, church. When He is our shepherd, our relationship, our fellowship with Him as our shepherd will never end. His goodness is eternal. His pursuit of you will continue, and His presence with you will never end. David knows, and we can know, that we can enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. When we get saved here, He's with us, church, right away. And then we're going to be with Him forever. For you and I, we can have the assurance that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A couple years ago, I got a phone call from really close friends we consider family. And they said, "Jeff, would you be able to come down to the hospital? one of our close friends is may not make it. So we get down to the hospital, and mom was a believer. She didn't know if her son was. And I remember walking in the room right after the doctor left. He was walking out. He said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "I am." He said, "I just let him know that he'll never wake up again." And I never met this woman before in my life. And I walked in there, and I told her who I was. And she just grabbed a hold of me and just screamed. She screamed because she didn't have the assurance that he was going to be with Jesus. They were about to unplug him, and she didn't know where her son would spend eternity. We can know, church. We can know where we're going to spend eternity. For you and I, we can have the assurance that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can have the assurance that when our time on earth is over, that we will be with him forever. And we see this assurance from our shepherd in John 10. I want to close by reading these words from Jesus. Are you ready? Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came to rescue us and restore us. He says this in John 10. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep that couldn't earn it. The sheep that couldn't deserve it. The sheep that were defenseless. The sheep that were dumb. The sheep that, are you with me, church, that walked down their own path." He said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep." The good shepherd, he comes to be with us, and he came, church. We're going to celebrate that at Christmas. He didn't come to stay a baby in the manger. He came to go to the cross and to die a bloody death for you and me and to rise again. He goes on to say in verse 17, Jesus says, "I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me. But I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it back up." Church, Jesus is our good shepherd. He loves us so much, church, and he willingly laid down his life for you and me, for each of us, because we needed him to. We were the sheep that could do nothing about our eternity. We can't earn heaven, church. Hear me say that. You cannot earn heaven. There's no weight scale in heaven. St. Peter is not standing at the gate having you see if your good outweighs your bad. It's not there. You will not find it in the Bible. And even if there was a scale, one bad outweighs all your good. You can't be good enough for heaven. You can't say, "I've lived a good life, I'm going to be okay on the other side." You can't say that. We cannot do it on our own. But Jesus did it for you. We can call on him to be our Savior, and he will. That's our shepherd. He's the reason we can be with the Lord when we leave this earth. He's the reason we can be restored and forgiven of our sin. He pursued us with his great love, his mercy, and his goodness, and he made a way for you and I to be with him and to be his forever. Let's pray.